Mac Home Magazine, Wherefore Art Thou?
We count down to WWDC.
Sam Levin joins us with his cool Mac picks.
My Mac Podcast number 93.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
Woo, it's a hot day outside. It's been a hot couple weeks, and it's a hot podcast.
Screaming Super Nitro Funny Car Hot Podcast.
If you've got a relative listening to this by themselves, go check on them.
Well, yeah. Maybe not. to see if they're still awake, maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
They that hurt my voice. I got to take a drink here, Ted.
Yeah, it gets a little raspy, I know, when you got to make that, the drag strip announcer voice.
Sunday! Yeah. Martin 131 Speedway! It's Funny Car! Super Chevy Sunday! Be there!
And while you're going there, make sure you stop by smalldog.com and pick up your iPod needs.
That's right! Call InnoTech for all your web hosting needs!
Wow, that was kind of the Sergeant Perry kind of came out.
Yeah, it did a little
bit. Don't let that guy know that you can imitate him like that. He might get upset. In fact, it's probably almost time for Sergeant Perry to come back on the show. We're going to have him come back on before 100.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good news. Been talking to a certain store in a certain mall in a certain city that you know what I'm speaking of.
Oh, yeah.
And you remember we talked about this a while back. We were going to, record a podcast at the Apple Store in Grand Rapids. And to be quite honest, things were moving apace, and I just kind of let it fall to the wayside.
Other things happen. Yeah.
And that was, back in October, November, somewhere
around
there?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Might even been before that we were talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to him again. Mm-hmm. Talked to him today. They're not blowing me off, but we're basically waiting for more information from the mothership. Hasn't got there yet, but the person I'm talking to there, I should say, basically said she'll contact me Monday if she hasn't heard anything from corporate. She's just going to go ahead and set it up on her own.
Okay.
So it looks like it's going to definitely happen, that we are definitely going to be recording a podcast at the Grand Rapids, Michigan Apple Store.
Oh, cool.
And I'm going to see what we can do about maybe getting some special guests in. It's probably going to happen on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I think that would probably work best. They're
works
open,
best
number
for us.
One.
Yeah.
Most people don't work on Sunday. Some people work on Sundays. There's a couple Mac dignitaries who actually live up in the Grand Rapids area, so I'm going to contact them and see if they'll come down and we can do interviews with them. It might be a long recorded show, so we'll break it up into a couple different pieces. Maybe we can interview some of the Apple people. Some of the customers that are right there.
Right.
It's not like we're walking around with a microphone.
No.
So we might have to look into getting a microphone that we can do that with. I think it might make it a little easier. And maybe not even record the podcast directly in GarageBand like we normally do, but rather use a camcorder and do video stuff, and just we can always pull the audio off.
True.
So that's something to think about. I know a few of you out there actually are in Michigan, and if you are, just remember. We're going to want your involvement.
When it comes through, we'll let you know. So
it would really suck if we show up and everybody's like, who the hell are those guys sitting over in the corner talking to themselves?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
There's probably going to be enough of that as it is.
So. Yeah. It probably will be. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's a podcast. It's not instant gratification. You can't tune in and listen as we're there. I mean, it's pre-recorded. But that's just, you know, that's the nature of podcasting. And in some respects, that's the appeal. And I know for a fact one person lives somewhere close to Grand Rapids. I hope he comes down. He's a podcaster himself. I can't give you a date yet, obviously.
Right.
It's still in the preliminary stages, but it's looking extremely positive. So I'm looking for, I think it would be fun.
Yeah.
I think it'll be extremely, it'd be just a good time. Probably it's going to happen in September. I just don't see us getting it there that fast for August. I mean, August just started, but I think mid-September will probably be a good...
Well, and you got to remember, it's back to school time for them, and that's probably when they're going to be focusing on...
Absolutely, we don't want to interrupt that. So, you know, mid-September, the back-to-school stuff will probably be winding up by then. We'll maybe get to see the Mac Pro, because something's coming.
Hopefully.
From Apple. We're, what, about a week away from WWDC?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Mac community is basically on hold until Steve Jobs' keynote, and we find out what's going on, what's coming out, what the big news is. We're going to talk about it in a little bit, too.
Wouldn't you love to see him come out? Hey, I'm Steve Jobs, and I got nothing.
I got nothing. Sorry. Yes. Go buy your RAM at Ramjet.
Here's the latest. Here's Leopard. Go have fun, kids.
Go have fun. And your current Macs won't run it. You don't have enough RAM. Go over to Ramjet.com and pick up some more RAM for it.
And it's not supported on PowerPCs either, so go get an Intel iMac.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. And we're not supporting third-party fonts anymore. Your SOL.
Yeah.
Get out of here. I ain't got nothing for you. Get off my lawn, you damn kids. You always want. What have you done for me, Stevie, lately, huh? Stevie needs some loving. Oh.
You kids, get out of my store.
Got no iPods for you. iPods. I have an iPod. Do you want to see my iPod? You can't see my iPod. I've got the newest iPod, and my iPod does more than your iPod, because my iPod's cool, and you can't even buy my iPod yet, but I'm not going to show you what it was, because you'll just want it, and then if you just want it, well, then we have to come out with it. You know how much it's going to cost to manufacture this thing? So you're just not going to get one, so ha ha! And walk away.
Wouldn't it be
so? You know what we should do?
What?
I don't know anything about animatronics or puppets or anything. We should somehow get a puppet. You know, like a Muppet Show type of puppet?
Uh-huh.
And make it look like Steve Jobs.
Huh.
And have a video show, and it's Steve Jobs as the Muppet. It's just, you know, it's like a little, a 2-3 minute, maybe 5 minute little sketch of Steve Jobs as a puppet.
Huh.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we could do it.
Just yelling at the screen about stuff. Yelling at, like, you know, have another one that looks like Bill Gates. They can argue about stuff.
Well, you know, Vista is going to ship. Shut up! That was out 3 years ago! Vista equals Mac OS 10.1. Come on.
Be great, wouldn't it?
Well, we could pursue it. It might be worth thinking about. Maybe Guy could come up with some good lines for us, too.
Speaking of Guy, I'm spitting out of my mouth as I'm talking. Go ahead, use a tray on your computer there, Chad. I cleaned it for you a little bit. It's a little dusty. I just, you know.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Speaking of Guy, is hopefully the people that are listening to this podcast listen to My Mac Mini podcast number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's wrapping up the Dashboard Minute. He's going to take over Not Mac News.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I say Not Mac News, I want to say with Chris Siebold, because
That's
the way it was, and it's going to be Not Mac News with Guy Searle. He actually sent me some sample scripts, some of the things he's thinking of. Fantastic stuff.
Good.
But, you know, coming up with fake news items is not the easiest thing in the world to do. Ask Chris Siebold.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... You okay there? You kind of banged your
it's
knee.
Fine.
So he's looking for ideas. So if there's anybody out there who thinks, you know, it would make a funny fake story, and I'm gonna kind of spoil one of his right now. I just threw an idea out there for him: the Windows widget. I'll let your mind race what that means, but that was my idea. Say something to do with a Windows widget on Mac OS, and boom, he has a Not Mac News based around the Windows widget.
Yeah.
So if you want to contribute to that for the My Mac Mini podcast, send him an email, and he would love to hear from you. He'd love to hear from your about your idea, and hey, maybe you'll even get accredited. Maybe he'll work your name into the show somehow. That would be pretty fun. That'd be cool.
Yep.
We've got a lot of news, so we should probably get to that.
All right.
Well, maybe not a lot of news, but you know, European iStore, European. I'm not peeing. Are you peeing?
No.
I'm not a peeing. European iTunes Music Store tops 200 million songs sold.
Brilliant!
So brilliant! So much for the Apple saying to France, we just will not sell you the iPod!
Yeah.
Yeah, 200 million songs sold. Yes, you are going to sell them the iPod.
Apple today announced that music fans have purchased and downloaded more than 200 million songs from its European iTunes music stores in just over 2 years. And the iTunes music catalog now includes more than 3 million songs from major music companies and over 1,000 independent record labels.
Launched in the UK, France, Germany in 2004, June. So that's, what, 2 years?
2 years.
The iTunes Music Store now operates in 17 European countries, including Austria, Belgium, Denmark. Didn't you?
You've got
some history in Denmark, right?
Oh, yeah.
We need to do an interview with you one of these days and get your background. I mean, you've been doing this radio show for, you know,
a year and a half.
And people only know you really from the Mac days. from this show.
From this show.
They don't really know the Chad Perry.
And they don't need to know the real Chad Perry.
The sensitive Chad Perry. Finland, Greece, Ireland, Italy. Just a whole bunch of people over there have iTunes stores.
Yep.
It's great. They're buying music. I wish it wasn't DRM'd, but it is. Mm-hmm. Live with it.
And it works for them.
Something's working. 200 million songs.
Yeah.
But when you really think about that, you put that into how much music is sold on a weekly basis. 200 million songs over 2 years probably isn't all that
special. Not when they've sold the billionth song here.
Yeah.
In the United States. Or...
Yeah, but I think Americans are much more enamored with entertainment than the rest of the world. I mean, our entire culture is based on entertain me.
Well, the other thing is that I think there are other alternatives in Europe. You know, I mean, Pirate Bay is based out of Sweden, so...
Well, yeah, but I guarantee if you looked at that Pirate Bay's database, you'd see that 95% of the users are coming probably from North America.
Yeah.
Mostly Canadians.
All right, to piggyback onto that one, Apple and Coke offer European iTunes giveaway.
Apple is teaming up with Coca-Cola in Europe to give away about 70 million songs on the iTunes Music Store, more than a third of the total number of songs it has sold there to date, reports Reuters. Go ahead.
Previously, Apple had teamed up with Coke's rival PepsiCo for a giveaway of 100 million songs in the United States, notes the story, and that in Britain, Coke will distribute 70 million songs.
Ah, we don't care. You know what? Okay, I'm drinking a Mountain Dew, and it's a Pepsi. Yeah. Apple's original sugar water.
Yeah.
Remember the big Pepsi thing with the iTunes? Now they're going to go with Coke?
Yeah.
I'm staying loyal to the Pepsi products. Apple.
Good for you.
Shame on you, Apple, dumping poor Pepsi to go for Coke.
You know, it all depends on what the major market is. And in Europe, it's Coke.
Coke?
Coke was established earlier, and so...
Well, it was here too, wasn't it? I mean, Coca-Cola is like the original nowadays.
Well, it's true. I mean, it was earlier than PepsiCo, I think. Someone was probably going to go and correct us, but...
I don't know.
Yeah.
I
but they were the first to license distributors outside of the United States, Coke was, and so they had distributors in Europe, and that's why Coke is more popular than Pepsi. It's much easier to find a Coke in Europe, so.
Apple releases security update 2006-004.
Apple has released security update 2006-004 for Mac OS X 10.3.9 client, 10.3.9 server, 10.4.7 for both PowerPC and Intel-based systems.
Go ahead.
And of this update, the company notes security update 2006 is recommended for all users and improves security of the following components: AFP, server, Bluetooth, BOM, DHCP, DYLD, fetch mail.
Acronym.
And WebKit.
TBS Networks now available on the iTunes Music Store. Turner Broadcasting Systems and Apple today, August 1st. Announced that hit programming from CNN... How does CNN have any hit programming?
What the heck?
With Walt Blitzer! Oh, yay, I'm going to pay 99 cents for that.
Moneyline!
Yeah, Kentucky, go ahead, you're on. Adult Swim and Cartoon Networks is now available for purchase and...
Download.
I went to the same line, but for purchase and programming from... What? The new content features Cartoon Network's Johnny Bravo,
Adult Swim's Aqua Teen Hunger Force,
and the original episodes of the award-winning documentary series CNN Presents.
All available for viewing on a computer or iPod.
For the last 3 months, Adult Swim has been offering free video podcasts via iTunes, ranking among the most popular television podcasts on the service. In addition to this new effort, CNN is offering... I was right, Wolf Blitzer.
CNN has been offering original podcasts as well as Late Edition with Wolf Blitzer and reliable sources to iTunes users for free for just over a month.
I didn't even read ahead and saw Wolf Blitzer. I just thought that would be funny, and it's actually in there.
Sweet!
Wolf Blitzer. Go ahead, Kanaki, you're lying.
Apple issues worldwide 15-inch MacBook Pro battery recall.
I want to start talking like that. It's like one of the Martians in Mars Attacks.
Yeah, well, let's start reading this that way.
Okay. Apple has initiated a worldwide battery exchange program for certain rechargeable batteries
that were sold for use with the 15-inch MacBook Pro computer systems.
Oh, crap. Let me check mine. No, I'm good. Yeah, mine's
from
mine's.
February 2006 through May 2006.
Man, good thing I just missed that one.
The company says they recently discovered that some 15-inch MacBook Pro batteries
would explode and kill you.
To give our users the best experience possible, we will replace these batteries for customers free of charge.
And they will scorch your eyeballs and you will go blind.
In addition, Apple says the affected batteries do not pose a safety risk.
Except for your laptop and your face and any exposed skin that will melt off your face when the battery explodes.
Alabama, you're on! Hi, Larry. I got a question for your guest. Is it true that the Dell laptops are bursting into flame and literally melting the case? Just right, there's a hole right where there's plastic, and just the battery explodes on these Dells, and the smoke is everywhere. Oh, the humanity, Larry, the humanity! Is it true, Larry? Is it true?
You got nothing, do you?
I got nothing on this one. You were talking about Dells.
I know you
gave me all that time to prepare, and I'm just going, and he's like, wow, he just keeps going with this thing.
He keeps going, and he's not running out of breath. Breathe, Tim, breathe! You think I'm almost on drugs today or something, don't you?
Hey, you're a little wired.
It's just so freaking hot. I'm like, just get all my energy out now. You know what? You know what it is?
What?
I've been invited to be a guest on the iProng radio show with Bill Palmer. I'm going to record it next Tuesday, so I'm just so hype about that. Man, I can't wait to get on there. I'm going to curse.
Sweet.
I'm going to get on there and just curse.
Because Bill Palmer, you think he cares?
Oh, yeah, he won't be able to air that. He's got advertising and stuff. So I'm just going to curse the whole time and screw it all up. And I'll act like it was a mistake, you know. More profanity that I'm not going to use on ours. Shit's okay. I hear that on regular programming nowadays.
You do.
Yeah. But, you know, you don't drop an F-bomb in there anywhere because...
Absolutely.
Well, we could because, you know, we're not under FCC regulations.
That's true, but still.
But we don't advertise this as being an adult show.
No. There's no explicit tags on the show.
In fact, I would probably say, if you're an adult listening to the show, you're probably listening to the wrong show. What are you listening to us for?
Finally, Apple denies 4 years. iPod report clarifies for years.
According to our colleagues at iLounge, Apple has clarified a quote. This was, by the way, posted at... where the hell did I pull this from?
Mac Minute?
MacMinute.com. Mac Minute for all your greatest. And they've kind of teamed up with Inside Mac Radio.
Have they?
Yeah. That's okay. They're basically saying in an interview with the Chicago Tribune, the writer misquoted an Apple person, and when she said the batteries in a Mac and iPod are supposed to last 4 years, she took it to mean F-O-U-R.
Four years.
Yeah, I didn't say that. It was for years. For many years. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And, duh. The guy's going, scoop, scoop, I heard 4 years, scoop. But really, who bought an iPod 4 years ago, 2002, and is probably still using that same iPod? Probably not very many people.
Well, by now they've probably upgraded.
And they're ion-lithium batteries. It's not like they're going to last forever anyways. Yeah. I mean, the batteries in the cell phones don't even last forever. All batteries are eventually going to get weak over time and die.
Yep.
So you know what's cool? I do listen to Inside Mac Radio, and that is a radio show. They release it as a podcast, but it's a radio show in the Bay Area.
Right.
And it's got a very radio format. Small segments, pow, 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 pow. Mm-hmm. They get to the point, unlike us most of the time.
Yeah.
They're professional, unlike us most of the time. Yeah. But one of the things that they have on there is Sam Levin. And Sam comes on with his cool Mac picks. And he kind of picks maybe one or two items, and he talks about it for a segment, and then boom, it's over and done with. I always enjoyed that part, because Sam comes up some really cool things for his cool Mac picks. I've been talking to Sam for well over a year now, and my idea was to have him do that as his own podcast, or come on our podcast and do it. And it just didn't really work out, you know, many years, it seems, but it's really months. He finally did it.
Really?
Yeah, so... I know we moved all of our segments, boom, over to the My Mac Mini podcast. But I thought, you know what? This is Sam Levin. I really respect him. I think he's got a lot of talent. He's very fun. Mm-hmm. We needed, after Chad and I went ahead and made the My Mac Mini podcast, afterwards we're like, man, we need something to break up the show a little bit occasionally, because we can stop recording and come back, yes, but it would be nice to have some kind of a little segue, especially if we're doing an interview or what have you. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to record right now. We've been recording for 20 minutes, and we haven't stopped. This is like nonstop. There's no pauses. Yep. There's no audio tricks where we paused the recording and went back and started. No, we just, boom, go yep. right through, as you could tell, because we're insane. But every now and then, it would be nice to have some kind of a little boom break right in there.
Oh, yeah, so people don't have to, you know, hit their pause button so they get when they get sick of listening to us. So,
so we're going to play someone with actual talent now, and that's Sam Levin. Go ahead.
With the cool Mac picks.
If it's cool and works with a Mac, you'll hear about it right here on Sam's Cool Mac Picks. Now, with this week's Cool Picks, here's the coolest Mac user ever, Sam Levin.
Hey, hey, everybody. It's Tuesday, August 1st, 2006. Sam Levin here, coming from live from the Bay Area. Just wanted to say hello. Doing a new edition of Cool Mac Picks here on my brand new MacBook Pro, colored by Colorware PC. You guys have got to check this thing out. Colorware PC, or colorwarepc.com, is a company that colors any notebook, including MacBooks, iBooks, iPods, with a special paint. And I can't explain how they do it because they won't tell you. It's a secret. I sent my brand new MacBook Pro to these guys. In 2 weeks, they delivered it to me in a carbon finish. This thing smokes. It's my own Ferrari, I swear. When you look at it, it's metallic, it's beautiful. They take all the siding off of the MacBook Pro. They basically disassemble your MacBook Pro and then dip it. I don't know if they dip it or spray paint it. I think it's dipped in some sort of a special paint, and the entire surface is painted. It's beautiful, except for the keyboard and the trackpad. They are still aluminum, and they're beautiful, and it's absolutely gorgeous. The back is even painted. The battery cover is painted. I can't explain how beautiful this is. I'm the only person around that has a carbon MacBook Pro. Anyway, check it out. You can send them yours, or you can buy one, and they fully provide a warranty for this at colorwarepc.com. It goes for about $459 if you want yours painted. It's worth every penny. Check it out today, and I'll see you soon for a new edition of Sam's Cool Mac Picks.
Thank you very much, Sam Levin. Mm-hmm. Boy, I hope we hear some more Cool Mac Picks in the future.
Yeah.
This is what's cool. After he sent me that, and I listened to it, I said to Sam, I want to see what the paint job looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, obviously it sounds cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's something that, while you can kind of describe it in mm-hmm. a lot of detail on an audio mm-hmm. show, I want to see a picture.
Mm-hmm.
He did me one better. He actually sent a video, it's like 3 megs,
mm-hmm.
of his MacBook painted, MacBook mm-hmm. Pro painted. It's very, very cool.
Yeah.
So we have to share that with our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to see the MacBook that Sam was talking about, go up to mymac.com,
mm-hmm.
click the link for My Mac Podcast number 93, go to the show notes page,
yep.
and you will see a... I'm probably going to convert it to YouTube simply to save on bandwidth, but
yeah.
you'll be able to see it just fine. Mm-hmm. And if you are listening to us in, or you download us via iTunes, mm-hmm. it's in there already. I'm going to include it in our podcast feed on iTunes, and it'll automatically download.
Yep, and then I actually went as far as to go to the Colorware PC site to see what they could do, and it's actually pretty cool. Colorware PC will, you can order your MacBook through them. They'll order it through Apple, and they'll put on the paint job whatever color you want, and I think they've got probably around 24, 25 colors, and send it to you, or if you want to, you can send in your current MacBook, and they'll paint that for you as well. Or any other Mac product you own. They do iPods, they do older PowerBooks. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
See, you know, you're going to have a very unique Mac after you do it. So thank you yeah. very much for bringing that to my attention anyway, Sam, and I'm sure
yeah.
our listeners are going to appreciate that as well. Something is special about customizing your computer to fit your needs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always cool to find out really neat products out there, or services, because this is more of a service than a product, that accomplishes that. So I get an email. I should probably bring up, because I want to credit the right people. I don't know if I sent it to you or not. I don't think I did.
No.
So while I bring this up, la-di-da-di-da.
So while Tim's checking the Gmail account.
Boy, did I not send it to myself, did I? That's bad. Did I send it to you about Mac Home?
No.
I didn't forward you that email.
No, I didn't hear anything about it.
Jeff Miller, that's who sent me the email.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that it was Jeff, but I can't recite everything from his email address. Mm-hmm. Basically, Mac Home Magazine never sent out their July issue.
Really?
You call any phone number listed for Mac Home Magazine, and I called everyone, and I tried almost every single extension. Nobody ever answers the phone, and you can't leave a message because every single mailbox is full. I called the subscription department, the 800-800 number. Nobody answers the phone there either. It just rings to Affinity. I've sent emails out to different staff members at Mac Home Magazine. Nobody responds. What's going on? Looks like... And Dennis Sellers had something posted up there on his web, MaximumNews.com, as well. Looks like Mac Home Magazine is no more. It's gone.
Wow.
No issue,
no announcement. Just
it's gone, yeah. So I asked around. You know what the biggest response I got was?
What?
Wow, Mac Home was still publishing? I'm not kidding. And maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to another major magazine publisher who we had on the show not too long ago. That's as far as I'll say.
Yeah.
Whose magazine is doing real well. And he said, well, yeah, they're probably having sales problems, you know, getting ads and stuff like that. And I said,
right.
I don't think so. Or even if they do, I don't think that was their biggest problem. Mac Home, biggest problem, as far as I'm concerned, is they weren't reaching their target demographic. Techno babble speak for most Mac users didn't know they existed.
Yeah.
Why not? I think they did a absolutely crummy job of reaching Mac users. Why weren't they updating their website every single day? They weren't. It was very crummy.
Yeah.
Why weren't they sponsoring some other Mac websites? I mean, I'm a publisher, but mine's all digital.
Right.
If I was a print magazine publisher in the Mac universe right now, Mac World, they're probably fine. But if I was, say, in charge of Mac Addict, I would be making some very strategic alliances right now. I would probably... Well, I don't want to give away my game plan because there's something in the works.
Yeah.
Other places, let's just put it that way. But I would be reaching the Mac writers out there that are on the web. I would be... targeting exactly their audience for my magazine. And nobody is doing that. Macworld magazine kind of is.
Yeah.
But they have a very strong web presence to begin with. Exclusive content, updated every day.
Right.
You know, that's why they bought Mac Central a few years back. Nobody's doing anything like that. Other than Mac Central, or Mac World, but again, it's their own stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of alliances that they could make in the Mac web that would really benefit us as users simply because we're going to have a stronger magazine market where, you know, magazines have to move away from news. It doesn't help.
Right.
I mean, what we're talking about as news on this podcast is going to be in their magazine 2 months from now.
And so, yeah, and that's way too old. I mean, there's too many, especially with podcasting, there's so many other avenues where people are covering that stuff already. Plus, the fact is the website's posted quicker than anybody else, so.
My concern is, what about the subscribers to Mac Home that are just that, subscribers? What if they just subscribed 3 months ago? What about the money that they spent for those issues that's not going to ship now? Do they get a refund? Why isn't anybody answering the phone at any of these phone numbers? What about their angry customers? Not that they care anymore. They're out of business, so what do they care? But still, there's a trust there as a publisher. If you took their money to fulfill that obligation or to return their money. Now, obviously, they probably went out of business because they're broke. And there's probably some stipulation when you subscribe to something like that that if they do go out of business, you're SOL.
Right.
Still, at least post something on your website. Due to deteriorating financial blah blah blah. We're no longer able to publish.
Mm-hmm.
Work out a deal with Macworld.
Yeah.
If you had a subscription, you will get 6 issues free of Macworld. And why wouldn't Macworld want to do that?
Yeah.
It's potentially brand new subscribers to them,
right.
And Macworld comes across looking like a hero. Hey,
mm-hmm.
You know, Mac Home left me cold, but Mac, I didn't even give any money to Macworld, and they're sending me issues. Same thing with Mac User.
Mm-hmm.
Set up a strategic partnership with them. Sell your subscription list to Mac Addict, and they can. Did I say Mac User?
No.
I said Mac Addict?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I was showing my age there for a minute. You know, there's ways to go about it. Being completely silent and going dead is not the way to, you know. Because even if you do eventually relaunch, people aren't going to forget that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you screw them over one time in an endeavor like this, they're not going to come back and subscribe to you again. You know, they're not going to send you another $19.99 or $29.99 for a year subscription thinking, well, geez, they went away once for 4 months before they were relaunched by a different company, and or the same company, just a different name.
Right.
And, you know, the editorial staff is all the same somehow. And, you know, there's ways to do it and there's ways not to do it. I hope, really, really hope that within the next week or so, Mac Home makes some sort of an announcement. At least, at the very least, let your subscribers know what's going on. Don't leave them hanging, because it really ticks people off and it's really not fair.
It's just good business.
I think so. So we're, like we were mentioning earlier, we're about a week away or so from WWDC.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to speculate a little bit. This isn't rumors. This is not information that we've heard and we're passing along as fact. We don't know.
No.
Do I have some contacts at Apple?
Sure.
Could I probably find out something? Probably not. Apple's pretty good on security nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
But there are some things that we know. For mm-hmm. instance, we know that Steve Jobs is going to demo macOS 10.5.
Yes. Codename Leopard.
I'm really looking forward to it. There's a lot of things that needs to be addressed in the macOS. Number one, the Finder really needs a major overhauling.
Mm-hmm.
It's so archaic. This still boggles my mind. I was talking to a few people just the other day. On my background was an IT manager.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also a digital librarian in that I fulfilled orders for digital artwork.
Right.
So if I was going to send a CD to someone, I would always print a directory of what's on that CD. In other words, mm-hmm. expanding all the...
All the open files.
Yep, so you could see it.
Yep.
And I would just do that in the Finder. I would expand all the windows mm-hmm. and print that window, and boom, there's a directory. I'd clear it with the CD or DVD and send it on.
Mm-hmm.
In macOS X, at macOS 10, you still, to this day, 10.4, do not have the ability to print a window.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. I could do it in macOS 8, and I can't do it in macOS 10.4? Come on.
Using the grab tool. I mean, you can use a grab tool, but...
Well, not if it scrolls off screen.
That's true.
Then I have to take a, you know, and we're talking about directories that could be 4 or 5 pages long.
You're right.
So that's not even really an option. Now, there are a few third-party utilities that will allow you to do it. But why should I have to buy a third-party utility to give me the convenience and the necessity in a graphic design studio
that should be built into the OS to begin with?
Yeah, I can't print a window, and nobody has addressed this in this amount of time. That is, there's no excuse for it, and I'm still ticked off about it. I'm not taking it anymore.
I can tell.
And I don't think we should. I think that's complete BS, and there's no reason at all for it. None.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my personal number one thing I want to see with 10.5. I want to be able to print directories from the Finder.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's column view, icon view, or list view, I don't care. Just give me the option.
Yeah.
Here's something that else I would like to see. In column view, why can't you sort it in a different order? Right now, if you go to column view, it's only in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
And also in column view, I can't see how large files are.
Which
or how big
because
the folders are.
I use that all the time.
In list view.
Yeah.
Why can't they combine the functionality of list view into column view? I mean, how difficult would that be? Just give me a listing of what's in there. Yeah, as far as items. So, you know, if there's a folder, it will say 11 items.
And you don't even have to give me the exact file size. Give me a guesstimate, you know.
Well, no, I
round
want exact.
Up.
No, I
do
want,
you?
Yeah. And that's not, I mean, that's not difficult to do.
True.
But why can't I sort it by date modified in column view? Can't do it right now.
Yeah.
I should at least be able to sort it in whatever order I want to see. Mm-hmm. I should be able to sort it ascending or descending, by modification date, mm-hmm. by creation date, mm-hmm. by file size, just like I can in list view.
Right.
But I cannot do that in column view. I love column view. I use that almost exclusively on any Mac that I'm using now.
Mm-hmm.
But when I have to get detailed information, I have to switch over to list view. And quite honestly, that blows.
Yeah.
So that I think that's something that should be addressed. I don't think it will be, but it sure would be nice.
Mm.
So that is definitely on my wish list. Can you, and I, Chad didn't prepare for this. Actually, I didn't prepare too much either. I just came up with the topic. Can you think of anything in the, on the Finder level that you would like to see? Is there any one glaring error or one glaring hole that you think, man, it would sure be nice if blank? Other than the brushed metal. I cannot stand the brushed metal look.
It would be nice to have a little bit, have some different, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like Apple threw away every aspect of their UI development.
Mm-hmm.
The brushed metal look in Safari and iTunes is different than the brushed metal look in the Finder now. How stupid is that? If you're going to mm-hmm. update one look, make it system-wide, you know?
Yeah.
And Apple keeps coming up with different user interfaces for each application. You open up, like we have right now, GarageBand, and you got this little faux wood thing on the side, which is really corny looking.
Mm-hmm.
And then their metallic look isn't really metallic, it's just kind of this flat, darkish gray.
Yeah, like the old plastic covers that used to go on the cheap stereo equipment.
Yeah. What it bothers me that Apple... At the very least, at least they have the window control buttons, you know, to expand or whatever, is all on the left-hand side like they mm-hmm. should be on every application. But come on, let's get a little consistency in the UI. Let's mm-hmm. kind of make it all look more uniform. And if some third-party developer wants to come up with some strange windowing system for their particular application, that's fine and dandy. But Windows in the Finder should look like Windows in, you know, GarageBand, should look like Windows in
iTunes. Yeah,
it's just, you know, I can understand if there's a need for it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go with a little bit of consistency. So is there any one thing that you could think of that is just glaring to you? Other than no trash can on the desktop, stupid trash cans in the dock.
Yeah, I would like to see that move to the desktop.
Don't you hate... I can't stand that. I'm sure there's a way to put it out there, some hack or something,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't like it in the dock. And how about the option of not having the dock at all? You can move it, and you can auto-hide it, but what about not using the dock?
Well, in all honesty, you know, I'm a control tabber.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I flip between applications.
Yeah, well, that's not how you open an application, though.
No.
You go to the dock. You know, yeah. Or if it's not in the dock, then
you have to go to the applications folder and pop it open that way.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of inconsistencies in the Finder. You know, Sherlock is still in development. It's not. They keep including it, but they haven't updated Sherlock in years. Yeah. I think widgets kind of are replacing Sherlock.
Yeah. Spotlight.
Spotlight really needs to be tweaked some. That's still kind of buggy. I'm still not getting even close to 90% accuracy on my searches.
Mm.
And I think that's kind of a problem. There should be an easy way within Sherlock to tell it to re-index the entire drive. There's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just go up to Sherlock and go re-index the drive. And it would go through the whole thing again, find out what's there. That way the search results would be more accurate in the future.
Right.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Innotech.com.
INNO-TECH.com for all your web hosting needs.
Got to give a shout out to our advertisers, Ramjet.com, Innotech.com, and Small Dog Electronics, smalldog.com. So that's what I would like to see with the OS X. Robert Hazelrig sent me an email and says, what do you want to bet that Leopard's only going to be compatible with Intel machines? And I said, no.
No.
Apple's not that stupid. No. Because they would basically shut out probably at this point 98.9% of all Mac users if they didn't make it compatible with PowerPC machines.
Yep.
Apple will keep supporting the PowerPC machines at least through the next two operating system upgrades. At least.
I would think so.
There's just too many users out there that's not upgrading to an Intel Mac yet.
Mm-hmm.
They will. eventually they'll all be there. But then again, there's some people out there still using the Performa.
Right. And, you know, once again, I think, you know, Apple has to fess up to the fact that for the most part they build very good hardware and it lasts a long time.
That's part of the reason you buy an Apple. Apple's not afraid to leave users behind to move on with the future, unlike Microsoft.
Right.
They're making operating systems that are still compatible with, you know, 5-year-old computers mm-hmm. or 10-year-old computers. Move on. Give them the stability, the security, mm-hmm. and the robustness that people need in a modern operating system. If that means you have to break a few eggs by not going so far back, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, because Apple makes both the software and, more importantly, the hardware, they're not going to slit their own throat and make it Intel only.
Right.
They're just not going to do that for a while. Eventually, yeah, sure, they're going to abandon mm-hmm. the PowerPC architecture completely, and it's all going to be Intel native.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen for at least 2 to 3 years, minimum.
I would think that's probably a pretty fair assumption.
So what else on macOS? Windows integration. A lot of people are talking about that. Being able to run Windows applications natively on the desktop.
Which would be fantastic, but for the most part, everything we've heard says no.
And I got to kind of agree with that. I did something a couple days ago, Chad. I'm going to show you right now. I'm going to restart my MacBook Pro. And, yes, do you want to save this document? No, I don't want to save this document. Go away. So I'm going to restart my Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, see, it's getting a little warm already.
Oh, yeah.
And in this weather, it gets warm even faster than it normally does. I'm going to hold down the key here, little option key.
Yep.
And you're going to see boot camp startup.
Oh, lovely.
Mac HD on one side and Windows on the other. I thought, I know you haven't seen this in action, so I thought I would show you XP running on my Mac. A few things I don't like about it.
Mm-hmm.
What did I do? I hit a button. restart Windows normally. One of the things that I don't like about it is it's Windows.
Right.
Yeah. Another thing I really don't like about it is that it's Windows. But probably the thing I really, honestly, don't like the most is that it's Windows.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, I don't have a need for Windows on this laptop. I have no software that I need that's Windows only.
Right.
I'm 100% Mac guy. I would like to try Ubuntu.
Would you?
Yeah.
The Linux?
Just because I like saying the word. I have no...
Ubuntu.
Ubuntu.
What?
And that's the sound of my MacBook Pro.
Oh, and how nice, you got a little Apple logo in the back.
Well, I'm not going to have that stupid picture of some springtime green and... But
like,
you know,
a washing machine. Like, yeah. Yeah, a detergent commercial.
XP
is
so ugly. I mean, look at the icons.
I know.
We had better icons on Mac OS 8.6. I mean, come on. And what is this, Crayola crayon time? Out of this mm-hmm. blue and the green and...
Oh, by the way, your computer horrible. Might be at risk.
Yeah, duh. It's Windows. I like that. Antivirus software might not be installed. Click this button to fix this problem. Let's click the button. And I didn't do anything. Let's see. Yeah, it sure does. It sees your wireless network just fine. So mm-hmm. I'll give it that. Everything works except for, obviously, you know, the scrolling trackpad thing doesn't work.
Yeah.
The video camera doesn't work. But it was very... very intuitive, very easy to install Bootcamp mm-hmm. and the Mac or on and Windows XP on this machine. I had absolutely no problem. So I will give it up for Apple that was pretty impressive that I could install it. Let's get this crap off my screen and reboot. That it was so easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, bye-bye Windows. Bye-bye. It should be easy to install. Why shouldn't it? And Apple made it very easy with Bootcamp to do it. And it's a full-fledged PC. This is not like it's running virtualization.
Right.
This isn't like virtual PC. This is Windows, a Windows computer at that point. It's a PC. But it's the only PC that can run Mac OS X.
Yeah, baby.
And Ubuntu. I just love that. Ubuntu. Ubuntu, Ubuntu, Ubuntu. Ubuntu, Ubuntu, Ubuntu.
Wonder what it means.
I don't know. Ubuntu.
I'm sure it
is. It's even funnier if you say it with an accent. Ubuntu.
Mm.
Ask me what operating system I like.
Yeah, I'm guessing you like the Mac OS.
Yes, and I like Ubuntu.
And you like Ubuntu, although you've never seen it.
Ubuntu,
so.
Ubuntu, 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 Ubuntu. I'm going to pretend that that's like some strange South African dialect to me, and I'm happy.
Oh.
Ubuntu, 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 Ubuntu.
Somebody's going to send an email and tell you what it actually means.
It's, I know, probably, right? It probably means like cow dung. Ubuntu.
I doubt it. I doubt the latest version of Linux would have a word that means cow dung.
Ubuntu! Ubuntu. I just like it. Isn't that great?
It's
such
it's good.
Flavorful word, Ubuntu. Ubuntu. And you can use your deep voice. It's Ubuntu. See, that doesn't work.
Ubuntu.
Ubuntu.
All right.
Okay.
Let's move on from Ubuntu.
I don't want to. I want to say Ubuntu some more. So what else? What's coming up at WWDC? We're going to finally see the Mac Media computer?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think they're going to do anything with it. Everybody's talked about it for the last 18 months.
I think the problem right now is people don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
It's almost like someone's holding their breath waiting to find out, is HD DVD going to win? Is Blu-ray?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be some kind of a subscription-based service that you can subscribe to on iTunes?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, what's Amazon going to do? Nobody seems to know anything yet, and I think that's where the real problem is.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows what to expect. But here's the thing about Apple. Do they ever wait to find out what's going to win, or do they come up with their own solution?
They usually come up with their own solution. And if we're going to see movie rentals or game rentals out of the iTunes Music Store, then...
Yeah. And it better not be $10 a movie to just rent it, because that's going to fail miserably.
Yeah. Then, in which case, I could see probably releasing a media PC.
What about a new video iPod? The 6th generation iPod or a iPod video player? I think that's kind of dependent upon the whole getting movies and iTunes.
Still, it's the form factor. We've talked about this. Even with the Sony PSP, you get a fantastic picture on those UMD discs, but it's still a 3-inch screen.
Right. But I could. I've watched videos on the iPod, and I've watched videos now on the PSP.
Mm-hmm.
There's no comparison. The PSP just kicks the iPod's butt.
Yeah,
6 ways from Sunday when it comes to watching videos and playing games. But
yeah,
if Apple is serious about portable video, the iPod is not it.
No,
it needs a bigger screen.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, what about a new Nano?
A new Nano?
Nano.
Hmm.
How long ago did the Nano come out? About a year ago.
Yeah, roughly.
It's time for an upgrade, I think. What are they? They got the $149 one gig, and then it goes 2 gigs and 4 gigs.
Yeah.
I think it's time for a 4 and an 8 gig, or maybe an 8 and a 10 gig. The flash memory cards that small are getting up there in space.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time that Apple releases a Nano with more capacity.
So are you thinking a Nano with a bigger screen as well?
No, I don't think so. I think Apple is very happy with the form factor and the size of the Nano.
Mm-hmm.
And I am too. I don't have one. But when you see one,
it's
very impressive.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's small and it's got a great screen on it for listening to, you know, changing tracks and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
I think the form factor of the Nano is fine, but it needs a upgrade as far as capability, i.e. it needs more storage space.
Mm-hmm.
So that I definitely think we're going to see a new Nano. If not at WWDC, within the next month or two. I think they want to come out with a new Nano and a new iPod before back to school.
Okay, let's talk about the other one that's been thrown out there, iPhones.
You know, that's such a hard one. It's so hard to get a phone, the phone you want, on the network you happen to be using.
Mm-hmm.
If Apple comes out with their own phone, it's going to have to work with every carrier.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, what's the point? And it can't just be some singular. It can't be Nextel. It has to be all of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they would work that. I also know for a fact that the cell companies, what they're really putting their emphasis on is not just the long-term contracts that you sign, and they almost give away the phones, to be honest.
Right.
But it's with the hope that you're going to buy content from their online distribution, games, pictures, mm-hmm. music tones, all that crap, that's where they want to make their money.
Right.
Apple comes out with a phone. Let's say it's just the best looking phone in the world. So what? What does it do that current cell phones don't? Other than just, you know, actually work most of the time.
Well, you know, you'll probably have access to iTunes.
But why would the carriers want that? Right. It cuts them out of the action.
That's right.
So, you know, there's so many logistical problems that I see with an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it would be called the iPhone anyways.
Right.
So,
you know, Apple busting into the cell phone market is probably a non-event.
Unless it's an iPod. And it's not called the iPhone or anything. It's just an iPod
mm-hmm.
that you can use on any wireless carrier network. That would be awesome.
Right.
But, again, I don't know the logistics, how difficult that would mm-hmm. be. It would take a whole lot of maneuvering on Apple's part. And you know what I think really needs to be updated?
What?
Apple Cinema displays.
Really?
It's time to upgrade those puppies.
Mm.
It's been a while since they've upgraded. So I think if we do, and I'm pretty sure we will see a new MacBook or a Mac Pro,
yeah.
that we're going to see some, I don't know whether it's a new form factor or what, but a cinema display, probably with an eyesight camera built in. I mean, they're already on the portable computers. Why
right.
not put them there?
Oh,
they're
yeah,
already on the
definitely.
iMacs. The cinema display needs a built-in eyesight camera. I would love to see Apple come out with a cinema display that I could plug in one or more ports,
mm-hmm.
one or more video inputs.
Right.
If I have an HD DVD player, why can't I hook that up to my cinema display? Right now, the cinema displays only will accept a digital signal, so you can't yeah. hook up a VCR to it.
Mm-hmm.
But what if I did want to hook up a DVD player to it? What if I don't want to use my Mac right now to show my HD movies that I exported back to my camera?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I hook that up to my cinema display?
Yeah,
I would love to see a couple different HDMI or DVI ports going into the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I plug my speakers directly into the monitor rather than running down the back of my desk and into my Mac?
Now, that would be convenient.
There's a lot of companies that make monitors out there. Many of them are rivaling Apple as far as how good it looks, and they're kicking Apple's butt on flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Apple really needs to update and refresh the cinema display line to reflect the real world. And the real world is not everybody is using their monitor just connected to their Mac.
Mm-hmm.
They would use it much more often. I mean, a 30-inch cinema display could easily be a television.
Right.
But there's no way to use it right now as such. Apple needs to address that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I'm looking at WWDC. We will all find out
next week.
By this time next week, we should know.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at a lot of new stuff up on the website. We just kind of rambled on a little bit too much. We got something really cool from Neil Monks right now, and it's a retrospective of the Power Books. This is part one of three. I love reading about Apple history, and Neil is an absolute whiz when it comes to the computers, the old computers, what they could do,
mm-hmm.
what they couldn't do. If you're looking to, if you use .Mac and you want to speed up your iDisk, Donnie Yankel has a really good Macspiration article up there. I think you guys will enjoy it. Obviously,
yep.
the My Mac Mini podcast number 2 went live on Monday, and
well worth listening to.
Yeah, and I Chad said this before. We did the interview, Chad and I did, with Julian Miller of Script Software,
mm-hmm.
and I actually enjoyed it listening to it than I did recording it.
Yeah,
because I could relax. Number one,
mm-hmm.
and number two,
I could listen to him.
Yeah, it was much...
Not that we don't listen to our guests, but a lot of times you're...
Yeah, as they're talking, Chad and I are communicating, okay, you know, you asked this question. Do you got anything? I ain't got crap. Okay,
right.
Let's get the guy off. You know, not that we were doing that with Julian, because that was a fabulous
mm-hmm.
time to talk to him. Guy Searle, and I mentioned this earlier, Dashboard Minute on Live Support, that he would really, really love to hear from you guys and any information that you can give him
yep.
on great ideas for future
Not Mac Newses. And he'll even still accept a widget if you have something that's pretty special. He'll do it on a Dashboard Minute for you.
Right.
Or just mention it at least.
Owen Rubin, ex-Atari employee, ex-Apple employee, current MyMac.com writer, mm-hmm. has a really interesting blog called Time to Unplug, and it's basically about the culture of nowadays listening to your iPod in public, and everybody's paying attention to their own personal little media empires and not paying attention to the world around you. And that is a problem, and I think it's something that's not just happening now. It's always been that way. We just have access to better technology, so people are kind of, not everywhere, but kind of retreating into themselves a little bit more.
Right.
That's not necessarily a healthy thing. John Martellaro has a Skype is Hype, Run to Daylight blog post. He doesn't really like the new video Skype 1.5.
Yeah.
He suggests you stick with the other. And Daylight integrates, gives you basically Microsoft Entourage features in Mail's application, Apple's Mail application. John Farr updates us on his MacBook Pro with RAM. You actually contributed to that one that putting the RAM in your MacBook wasn't the easiest thing to do in the world.
No. It does take a little more oomph than you would think it would.
And you're always so scared to push too hard because what if this damn thing breaks? And
oh, yeah. I actually thought I had bad RAM because I kept getting that white little light on that says bad RAM when I kept rebooting. And I kept thinking it was properly seated. So finally, I said, well, maybe it's not seated. Grabbed the end of a pin, the blunt end, and shoved. And sure enough, it finally seated.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, you get that little butterfly in your stomach like, oh. You hit reboot, you hit the power button on your computer, and you're like, please start, don't die. Okay, everything's good. So, but John said he saw much better performance once he upgraded the RAM.
Sure.
So, did you?
Oh, yeah.
So, if you've got a MacBook out there, or even a MacBook Pro, definitely consider upgrading that RAM. It's going to make all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know where they can go for good RAM, right?
Ramjet, baby.
Ramjet.com. Well, that's the show this week. About an hour.
Mm-hmm.
No interviews. We had a scheduled interview. Unfortunately, we were dealing with the PR people and not the real cool people at the company.
So,
and they dropped the ball. We didn't drop the ball. They dropped the ball. If you want to know who they are, just listen to last week's show and you'll figure it out.
And we still may get them on. So we'll see.
It's a great software company. I was really, really looking forward to talking to them. Unfortunately, someone's asleep at their desk. So maybe someone's on vacation.
That
but,
could be too.
You know, you got to take that in consideration. If you're going on vacation, why don't you let other people know what's going on so something like this doesn't happen?
Yep.
I actually talked about on the mini podcast number 2 about breaking our interviews out as a second or actually a third podcast. And that's something that Chad and I really think would probably work well.
Yeah.
It'd be a fun thing to do. So that's it this week. I'm really looking forward to WWDC. Hey, if you guys want to leave comments on what Steve Jobs introduces, what he didn't introduce, your comments, anything about WWDC once the announcement's made.
You can call our Skype comment line at 1-801-938-5559.
Just look at the website, any podcast, you'll see the phone number. Quite honestly, not hardly anybody's calling it. I'm seeing the stats on how many people are downloading the show more than ever, and I'm thinking, why aren't people calling? Well, it's not a free call, number one, but if you got so many minutes on your cell phone, it's not going to cost you anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can also Skype us at mymac.com on Skype. Just type in the username mymac.com. Dots, not spelled out, just mymac.com.
Yep.
That's my Skype account. If you see I'm online, send me a hey, how you doing?
Yep.
Or if we're not, you can simply leave a message that way.
Mm-hmm.
What about iChat? You can get me on iChat as well.
Yep.
What's my iChat name?
DS9DS92.
That's right. DS9DS9 number 2. So, that's all of our contact information other than email. Tim@mymac.com.
Or ChadPerry@mymac.com.
We look forward to hearing your comments, and we'll see you guys in, what, 1 week?
A week. See ya.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.